Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University Audio Presentation of the Month. This monthly CD and web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Business success involves productivity, engagement, and accountability. The seven attributes covered in this presentation are all about helping the business owner get better in each of these areas. Our presenter, Bruce Lee, is a regular contributor to this program with other topics on networking, coaching, trust, and generations. Bruce's core message as an event speaker, author, MC, and productivity coach is productivity, engagement, accountability. Each focus area supports the other and is integral to creating a successful team and company. His passion is working with individuals and organizations to enhance leadership results, align their strategy with work being performed, increase individual productivity, and customer satisfaction. Bruce has been involved in four businesses from a good cross-section of industry, having been regional manager for Visa, a marketing representative for a fully integrated oil and gas company, an executive recruiter, and as an entrepreneur, owning a 24-hour-a-day retail convenience store and gas bar, prior to a full-time career in the training industry all across North America for the past 23 years. Bruce brings a hands-on, been-there-done-that approach to the challenges we all face from time to time in our companies with our leadership teams, customer service providers, and our customers, or prospects. Now, sit back, relax, and get ready to take some notes as Bruce shares about the seven attributes of a successful business.
Welcome to the seven attributes of business success dash outcomes equals outcomes. And the reason I like saying that is over the years, this particular workshop has evolved from a number of interesting titles, but they've all evolved around one thing. It's called attitude. Attitude is critical to success. I don't know how many times you've heard that, but it is so true. The challenge is, from time to time, things go wrong. Things don't happen the way we want them to. I know that's happened to everybody. It's certainly happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you, and probably maybe even more recently. And when that happens, we get a little depressed, a little upset. We sometimes get off focus, get off our goals, get off our mission, forget why we're here, just forget about the good things we do for our current customers, forget about the great things we can do for new customers. I really forget about our reason for being, and slows us down. So what I want to do in this 45 minutes, more or less, is just kind of give you some common sense reminders of what we should do and how to stay on track, and you know how to keep driving your economic engine to make it successful, to make you successful, to make your workers more successful, and of course to create a great customer experience for everybody, so to drive your reputation. So this is a nice extension of the last small university workshop I did for Grandy & Associates. The last one, if you purchased it, was called The Power of Trust in the Trades Industry. And it really got into a couple of things. It really saying, you know, the more trust you have with your customers, the easier it is to do business. The less trust, the harder it is to do business. And it's really saying is trust is two basic things. One is about performance, and that's exactly what I want to talk about today. So when it comes to creating trust, it's about how well performance is measured by how someone or something does the job it's bought and intended to do. So accurate, complete, cost-effective, timely. Or it's all about relationships which create trust. And again, a lot of things I want to talk about today really are about that relationships or the interpersonal skills. And it really gets back to, you know, what behavior, which is what people see, which is what people do, which creates your reputation, and it's about actions. So before we get into the content, just a reminder that the full value of this recording is how you share the core ideas after this with the others you work with. So think about the ideas and who can benefit the most from hearing them, so within your organization. So ask yourself, you know, which idea, attribute, skill that I talk about when acted upon will help you improve your performance, what you do, what you stop doing, help you improve your employees' performance, what they do or don't do or stop doing, increase job satisfaction, which of course is important, increase employee job satisfaction, and bottom line, it all goes to increasing customer satisfaction. Now, interesting enough, over the years, this workshop's title has evolved from originally called becoming unreasonable and extraordinary. And that just means about, you know, bringing out the best in you. And at one time it was called bringing out the best in you and your people. And then more recently it evolved into the passing zone, how to accelerate your career, which is really what this is about. But when it comes to from a business component, this is the better title, The Seven Attributes of Business Success Equals Outcomes. And as the header for it said, it's about action, power, passion, and results. And certainly it's an inspired look, and I hope that creates that for you. So the first thing I want to talk about is attitude. And everything's about attitude. And I always harken back to the story about Zig Ziglar, the famous Texas motivational speaker, who one day, many years ago, after completing a speaking event, was returning to his home city. But when he got to the departure airport, got there a little bit late, made the mad dash across the concourse, ran up to the ticketing agent, gave her his ticket, and expecting the ticket to be processed in a timely manner, was told by the ticketing agent, "I'm sorry, Mr. Ziglar, your flight has been canceled." Expecting to be rather upset, because people get upset over those sort of things, he looked her in the eye and he says, "Fantastic." She says, "I don't think you heard me. I said your flight was canceled." He said, "I heard you. Fantastic." She goes, "You know, most people get upset when they hear these sort of things. Why would you think this is fantastic? The flight has been canceled." He goes, "This is fantastic. You've canceled the flight. You've done it for one of three reasons. Number one, either there's a problem with the plane, a mechanically unsound plane shouldn't fly. Fantastic. You've canceled the flight. Second, perhaps there's a problem with the pilot." And on an aside, we all heard about that JetBlue pilot about a year ago who ran down the aisle of the plane screaming we're going to crash or something like that, and they had to divert the plane to Texas in order to land instead of going to Vegas. It says, "Fantastic, we're not going to fly with the pilot, shouldn't be flying." Or third, maybe there's a problem with the weather, and I think that's fantastic, you've canceled the flight, because I don't want to fly through bad weather. She goes, "Well, I hate to say this, Mrs. Ziglar, but your next flight is not in an hour, as the signboard shows, it's not going to be for 8 hours. He looks her in the eye, and he says, "Fantastic." And she goes, "All right, why would this be fantastic?" He goes, "This is fantastic. I get to sit in your lounge, drink your alcohol, eat your food, make my calls on your dime, read the newspapers, catch up on my correspondence, meet some other really nice people who are waiting in the lounge. This is fantastic. You've canceled the flight." So the question I like to ask live audiences, and just shout the answer out in your car or truck, wherever you are. 8 hours later, when he got on the plane, how was he feeling? He was fantastic. So it's really about how we react to things, and maybe better options will come up. So instead of taking it out on the message bearer, understand, as I said 5 minutes ago, things happen. And it's really our attitude about it and how do we make the best of it. So the seven attributes of business success really is saying, you know, how do we want to get to where we want to get to? So it's about looking at outcomes. Now, things to drive us there in order to get started, to get motivated, is understanding it's about action, what you do or don't do. In this case, hopefully what you will start doing. So as I go through the content, make notes. You know, does that idea resonate with you? Is it a good idea? Should you start doing it? Should you stop doing it? Who should get involved in it? What other additional resources do you need? What's it going to cost? Who can supply it? What vendor should I get to? Who can I partner with? You know, just get really creative about it. You don't have to have the answer right now. In fact, a lot of times if you just, you know, let it sit and percolate, you'll go, "Oh, that reminds me. If I talk to Jim Dawkin, I bet his connection with Fred James can get me what I need." So just, you know, start doing the networking thing like you probably do anyways. So, you know, as Charles Dickens said a number of years ago, when you find it, make a note of it. So capture those good ideas. Don't let it get down. And the reason for that is it's called the so what. You know, generally in training, and not so much when it comes to audio CDs, if you're driving, you may not get all the message, so you need to listen to it a second or third time. But generally in live presentations, 85% or more of the information is forgotten in the immediate 2 weeks after the event because there's no follow-up. And that's why I want to encourage you to make some follow-up. So make some notes of it. Make notes on it. And it really does become the so what. I like to say, call it the dear boss letter. "Dear boss, as a result of listening to this Grandin Associates university workshop, here's what I think we should do, start doing, stop doing. You know, make the recommendations or try, you know, at least do a pilot project." Now, that would be for other CDs you're listening to. In this particular one, it's more about ideas and attitudes, and so maybe not quite so much that type of focus, but it's really what you can do with the content. So this really is about creating mastery in you. And how I like to say, mastery is about the possession or display of a consummate skill or technique. You are the master of your domain. You have the reputation for it. In fact, that may be how you advertise yourself, you know, as being the best in the industry. Mastery means you have total control. You know what you're doing. You exude it. People see it. It's about authority. But above all, mastery is always about competing against yourself, always about saying, how can I get better? What can I do? What can I improve? You know, what am I doing that doesn't really add value to my customers? What can I say adds value to my customers by what I do? So you get that great reputation. So the vision of this presentation is about helping you to continue to create world-class customer and employee satisfaction. And the driver behind all that is called enthusiasm. And enthusiasm, you know, the Greek definition of enthusiasm is enthusiasmus, which meant God possessed or God in you. And when the Greeks would call other Greeks enthusiastic of the highest confidence, they paid anybody. So getting into the content, as has been said, for a transcript of this presentation, just write down everything you hear. Well, you're not going to get a transcript from this one, but again, just make good quality notes. And understanding it's about really about what you do with the training. Traditionally, when people go to workshops, conferences, attend webinars, teleconferences, listen to discs. If somebody used to say you need to listen to this or do this, when they come back, the general comment was, well, how was the course? How was the workshop? How was the webinar? And people would go, well, the place was cold, food was hot, people were quiet, teacher was boring, whatever. Or they might say, what did you learn? Well, that's better, because when you come back to it, you really have a focus on, what am I going to bring back? The last company I worked with and for as president and head of marketing, we would encourage all our employees to, if they did attend any event, so be it a conference, read a book, attended a teleseminar, write a book report on it, and then they got points toward different things that they could collect, so be it from days off to massages to dinners, because they shared the information. And the real value of making a book report on, or a report, I guess, on what you're doing is you get to learn it and you actually get to own it, which means you may implement it. So it's really to make sure we go beyond that 85% point with that. But the real question that people should ask when anybody takes any training is, what did you learn and how can we help provide the resources, you know, such as time or money, to implement it? And that way you move from reactive to proactive to learning and behavior modification. And please understand, all training is behavior modification, how I like to look at it, and it really creates the results. A friend of mine has a great book out called Life Sinks or Soars, and it's really his coaching program broken down into a real small book, and I won't tell you what the story is about, except to say there's three key ideas that come out of it. What he's really saying is our success in life is based on choices we continually make, and from that choice that determines our future. You know, what we are today is based on choices we made yesterday, last week, last month. What we're going to become in the future is based on choices we've made last week, choices we make today, choices we're going to make tomorrow. And that's why it's important to really understand what is our objective. So it's all about, everything really is about choices when you think about that. But our success in life is based on what we determine to be true, which means a lot of times we get information that isn't necessarily correct, or we misinterpret it because of our filters or what people are telling us or misinformation. And that's really important. We always pay the price by not asking the question, why? When people are giving us information or people are telling us what to do, do we really get really clear on the intent? So it's always good to say, why? You know, if you ever play that game where you keep asking questions, you understand that at some point in time you get down to the heart of the matter. So keep asking why. But the reality is, why we are not successful is the one thing we usually defer to is the easiest task when given a choice. So I want you to think about this. Next time that you have a choice to make of activity, which one do you do? The one that's really easy to do now, or the one you really should do and you end up putting off? Because we really need to do the most important one. So I want you to think about that. We always do what is most important to us in the moment as compared to what we should do in the future. That'll determine our short-term and long-term impact. As Ginny Dye said, founder of the Ultimate Life Company, she said, the choices I make today will determine the rest of my life. That is so true. You know, if you want to think about that, in my last presentation for Grandy, small university. And when I talked about the power of trust, I talked about the movie The Blind Side. That's probably the best example there is about making the right choices and giving people options when you think about the net result behind that. So with that, when it comes to outcomes, I really like to say, you know, let's pretend this is kind of like a strategic planning session. When I do strategic planning sessions, the question I would like to ask is, how successful are you ready to be? Which really opens up the door to a lot of questions and answers and feedback, depending on whom is in the chair in the presentation and their level of skill and their commitment when they came in about how prepared they were coming into the presentation, which, again, is a training activity behind that. But what it's really saying is, well, what are the short-term, what are the long-term, what are you going to do? If you do a SWOT analysis, and I hope you've done one at some point in time, you know, with your close associates and friends, business associates, you know, and staff, what the SWOT looks like is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And from that, it can help plan your future. Any one of those four is just a great way to spend some time to think, how can we get better? You know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What do we need to prepare for so you're not caught off guard? So it's really about predicting the future by creating the future, and that's a great way to do that. And how we're going to do that in the next half hour or so is understanding the seven attributes about how to create that. The end result is called the prize. So of the seven attributes, number one is about optimism, about believing in yourself, about seeing your potential, and that's why that enthusiasm comment I made a couple of minutes ago is so important. You know, Zig Ziglar said, people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it every day. So you need to keep pumping people up, and especially if there's challenges in the economy or dealing with clients. So you need to set the stage for that. How I do that, I have an acronym called SAM. And what SAM is really about how to control attitude. In fact, it's a great way to motivate, inspire, and train anybody when you understand that. So, you know, in a live presentation, I show a slide of a cute little orange kitten looking in the mirror and seeing the lion looking back. And you've probably all seen that. And the reality is, what I say is, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You know, a successful, good-looking, motivated, eager business person, or somebody's been beaten down, and you can tell by the eyes and by the look and your appearance, which is really important because that becomes that first impressions thing. So do you have the smile? Do you have the frown? Do you look good? Do you look smart or not? So what do you see when you look in the mirror? The kitten will never become the lion, but it's really about seeing potential. So when you look in the mirror, what do you say? Oh, man, disappointed again. Another day of dealing with bad people, or hot, good stuff, you know. So it's really want to start off with the attitude. And it's about understanding, it's about passion. I have a friend who's on a TV show called The Dragons, Brett Wilson, and depending how he's introduced, he's either Canada's newest billionaire or Canada's most eligible bachelor. And in a workshop he did for a breakfast club I chaired about 6 years ago, when he talked about passion, he said, if you don't have passion, get out. And that's exactly what happened to him. He left one job where he wasn't totally suited for it, started a new business, and became fairly successful. And that's the point. You know, if you're not passionate about what you have, maybe you need to look at what else is more suited to what your skills are. How do you do that? Well, you need to look at what you're good at. And one thing I always encourage people to do is ask for the self-tests that I freely give. They're on my website. If you want to email me, you can have them as well. But they really, these self-tests really help drive your personality and your success. Well, what's the benefit of self-tests? Well, first of all, it's about decreasing turnover of employees because they're measuring themselves, you're measuring them. It's about reducing customer complaints. It's about increasing customer satisfaction scores, however you measure them, and please measure how happy your customers are with you. It's about career advancement for the people being measured because they get a chance to say, here's how I'm doing, which is really important. It certainly creates teamwork, quality improves, and above all, as Tom and others continually show you in the newsletters, is about how to drive up your utilization numbers because that means productivity, and of course, that means profitability. So the three self-tests I have, one is called Rating Your Soft Skill Leadership Attributes. And what that talks about is about how to measure the attributes that are important to loyalty. And what it measures is enthusiasm, persistence, determined, positive thinker, smile, say hello, helpful, go out of the way, sincere, which is caring, appearance, initiative, consistent, and punctual. And it measures it in four distinct categories. One would be how you see yourself, of course. The second is you'd give blank copies to a manager, to a fellow worker, to a customer, and say, please be honest, how do you see me? Question I like to ask live audiences is, would you want to know how your customers and your subordinates and your peers see you? Not many hands go up, depending on what group I'm speaking to, because the response why they don't want to hear it is, well, I might not like the response. You know, and so depending on the type of leader you are, which talks about behavior, if you think about that, how people perceive you. So since perception is reality, why not find out the real perception of you? Give them blank ones, have them be honest, get some feedback, see how it looks. If you want to have some fun with this, give it to your spouse. Dear, how do you see me? The second one is the 10 attributes that drive retention. This one's a confidential one, and I'll just quickly cover. What gets measured here? It says, the leader I report to talks about respect, communication, alignment and trust, recognition and feedback, empowerment, insider information, coach, champion, training tools, leadership, and P.S. I really enjoy, looking forward to coming to work. And again, from this, it tells you what sort of culture you have, what sort of leadership you provide, how your people perceive you, which will determine how good they work or not. Very important self-test. And the third one is really about how to coach people. It's called Coaching Skills Self-Assessment. And the first two pages says, as a coach, number one question is, capitalize on my employee strengths. So on a rating of 1 to 5, it has 20 questions and tells you how you're doing. And the last page on it says, as my boss, you, and it asks the same 20 questions. So kind of like a 360 feedback, but it's just a great way to see how you are on the key things that matter to coaching people. And you really can't put a price on coaching. I recently hired a coach to help move me forward, and I'm just thrilled with the results that came out of the 1.5-hour sessions of what I have done to move myself forward. Knowing what you need to do and doing are two different things. A coach, which could be you with your staff, helps identify what you want to do, and then you get the person to commit to it. In my case, not an issue. I committed to it. But getting others to do it takes a little longer process. But when they do, you get some amazing results, and I'm just thrilled with what I got done as a result of that. So those are three self-tests. So let's get into it. So that's the optimism part. Attribute number two is about urgency, which means do it now. As you may have heard the story many, many, many years ago, Lee Iacocca, when he was president of Chrysler, determined it was time to bring the convertible back, and because convertibles had been shunned because of accidents and people falling out, and this was before cars got a lot safer. So he said to his engineers, give me a prototype for a convertible. And after about a couple of months, he called the engineers and he said, how's the prototype coming? And they said, well, it'll take about 9 months. We're working on it. And he said, I don't think you understand me. Get a saw and saw the darn roof off. Just do it. You know, figure out some way to do it. They didn't have to build it from the ground up. They just had this, you know, the upper structure of the car to deal with. So, you know, the acting with urgency is kind of important. Larry Winget, some of you may know, you know, one of North America's top sales people, has a nice little expression that I think is so true. He says, business improves when we get better. Well, what would that look like? Wayne Cotton, another speaker I know, says, if you have a problem, make it a procedure. It won't be a problem anymore. And that just means, so identify what the issue is and then put something in place to make sure you address it. For example, if there's not enough sales, maybe the procedure is to have salespeople. Good. They have to have a great attitude, have some training, but you need to start measuring what are they doing. Well, it's about setting a certain number of calls and the anticipated results of the call, so it gets measured, and that's how it should be paid. And I'd be happy to talk to you about what that could look like, because I'm just doing that right now for a couple of organizations. But it's really about making sure you have the procedure in place to measure the results and how you support people through that. So what do you need to do? What he says, in order to get better, you want to ask yourself three questions. What did we do today to make my company more sales, more profitable, or cut expenses? those are great questions. I put that in my customer service workshops as well. So, other questions. What efficiencies or strategies can I now take advantage of that may not have been available 3 months ago, or maybe I wasn't ready for it 2 hours ago? So looking at it, how can I do more with less? You know, this is just a great way of looking at how can I increase productivity, but maybe what am I going to stop doing? You know, how am I overselling? How am I over-delivering? You know, what does the customer really want? What are, you know, what bells and whistles can we do without? Or what procedures do I have in place that waste the time of people? Just looking at the whole process, you know, writing out. Get people to do an audit of your facility and your service. You know, somebody who would give you some honest feedback about what they see. I used to do that for hospitals all the time. Do walks around the entire hospitals and say, change this, fix this, you know, add this. You know, and just becomes user-friendly. How can I open new markets? So what's next? Well, if you did a SWOT analysis, that might kind of address some of that. But it might be saying, what do your customers really want? What is the unmet need? What are they not asking for? Which you kind of have a sense of that it might work. And then how can I increase margins? Well, reduce costs. You know, get better buying prices, less stock, better ordering. You know, there's a lot of ideas you can work on that as well. And basically what you want to say is, how can I make my customers more successful? So you can either sell cash registers or you can sell business management machines. You know, so depending how you look at what you are offering, the end result, the reason people are doing business with you is one of two reasons. They either want to increase sales, they want to reduce costs. How do you identify that's what you do as your service, your product? So about action, you know, there's a website out there. Mental block on the name of it, but it'll actually tell you where you spend time on your computer as to what URLs you are, where you spend your day. Some companies monitor employee computers where they go, but you can do this on your own if you want. I think it's called Rescue Time. I have a mental block on what the name of it is, because I haven't referred to it for a while. So that's about getting things done now and some action. The third attribute is understanding that since everything is today, everything is about doing things now. It's really about today. And I love telling the story I want to talk about intentions. So you want to call a section intentions. Okay, the header for it is called Today's the Day because attitude is everything. When it comes to getting things done, as has been said, the difference between what we do and what we're capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. You know, when somebody says, I'll try, you know they're not going to do anything. Yeah, that's kind of an out. So you're either going to do something or you're not. You know, the I'll try is just a great way of saying, no. No, so what you want to get beyond intentions. For example, about 10 years ago, the book The Secret came out, which is about the law of attraction. And what The Secret talked about was that basically what you think about is what you get. The problem with that, though, is there's nothing about action. I could talk about action in a minute here. So you can think about being successful all you want, but what are you going to do? Which is why you want to have the strategic planning, which is why you want to have some sort of action, which is why you want to record information down. I think the better book to support The Secret is called The Strangest Secret, which is by Earl Nightingale, which in 1959 became the world's most successful audio book, which sold 1 million copies on an LP. And what he said was, the really successful people learned where they ought to be, which means where do you want to be, what's your goal, what's your mission, what's your, you know, your end result going to be, and then they took action to get there. So he said, as you become what you think about all day long, as long as you are focused on action toward creating that. And that's really successful. So the story supports that is about Mel Fisher. It's a true story, and it's featured in the Discovery Channel a number of years ago. But Mel Fisher was a treasure hunter who every day would look for treasure off the coast of Florida and became obsessed with finding the Spanish galleon, the Atoka, which he knew had sunk off the eastern coast of Florida with literally millions of dollars of gold and silver on it. And he spent a lot of time looking for it. And generally when he'd leave port, he'd go, today's the day. We're going to find the Atoka. And for 10 years, every single day he went searching for it. And they had some close strikes. They never did find it. But tragedy struck on July 13th, 1975, where a freak wave at night came along, flipped over his boat, and his son, Dirk's wife, and one of the diver drowned. A tragedy. But do you stop? Well, instead of stopping, he continued. And for every day, it was today's the day. Today we will find it. And for just over 10 years, he kept searching for it. But before he found it, here's what's interesting. He ran out of money. And he said to his employees, stick with me. I know we're close because he'd done some more research. We're going to find it. And when I find it, whatever we find, I will give each of you 1% of what we find. Today's the day. And he kept searching for it. And then one day, July 20th, 1985, 10 years after that tragedy, they found it. The accumulated value, and I know it's a little higher than what it is right now. The last time I checked, the value of everything that had been found, had been recovered from the Atoka, was $500 million. I would think 1% of $500 million would be a pretty good reward for sticking with somebody because you believed in them. The question is, would you go to work without a paycheck? Yeah, a lot of you have. I've done that. I know you've done that. Getting people to believe in you, that's the challenge. But you know what? Today is the day. It really is the day we create our future by the choices we make. Sorry. And it's really about what's called directional strategies. And directional strategies are kind of mental guideposts about how you want to get to where you want to be. So number one, choose your destiny. Understand what you want to become. Number two, focus on the action steps that you're going to take. So today, the three things I must do in order to achieve this, or two or one. Understand the momentum builds on small successes, so track it. record it. So you can see what you've done. You know, the what gets measured, get treasure gets done is really important. Why that's so important, to build on the momentum. Make some referral calls. I had a speaker at a breakfast club who sold fractional jet ownerships, $250,000 each. And at the end of the presentation, I said, well, how do you find new customers? And he goes, simple. I pick up my phone, I call my current customers and say, who should I be calling? Well, of course, his current customers would know who else could use the jets. Kind of makes sense. I think that's brilliant. Ask the right question, get a really good answer, and act on it. So who should you be calling? I want you to think about this. Understand from the law of abundance, which is called possibility thinking, which just means is how much do I want to create, how much is out there, how can I get that? And to support that, directional strategies, key questions. In the morning, ask, what am I doing today to book my optimistic numbers? So what are the minimum numbers you need to log in? You know, calls to make, sales to make, purchase orders, however you measure your productivity. What do you need to do that day? At the end of the day, you say, what did I do today to book those optimistic numbers? And the third question you want to ask is, what did I trade this day for? So did you actually get what you wanted to accomplish? Some days we don't get a lot done, but we can always catch up as long as we're focused on activity and having fun. The fourth attribute is about understanding continuous improvement and how to develop and acquire new skills. It's what has been said, the size of your thinking determines the size of your success. So maybe it's about taking big risks. And I think you've all heard the story about Columbus, you know, when he set out to discover China. A month or so into his voyage of discovery, when the crew was mutineering, nobody would have forgiven him had he turned back. Of course, nobody would remember him either. So it's really about taking big risks and going, we can push on. You know, don't bet the whole farm on it, so to speak, but just keep moving ahead. So this comes down to this thing called attitude. Now, I have a little letter expression. It's called TFAR. So it's understanding that we get good thoughts. We get these good ideas, and if we feel good about them, we'll act on them. So we all get these great ideas. And we should always be continuing to drive them. But if we don't feel good about them, we won't act on them, so they won't happen. And the problem is we get good ideas, but we forget them because we don't write them down, which is why I said write them down. So we feel good about these ideas, we'll act on them, and which will create results. If we don't feel good about them, we won't act on them, which will create no results. And if we create results, we'll do more results, more thinking, more feeling good about it, more activity. So just understanding that most people get held back because they go, no, that won't work, don't try that, don't like it, too difficult, you know, and they talk themselves out of it, whereas to going, yeah, a little bit of pain, but there'll be some long-term gain, I just have to get through this. When I go for my long bike rides, you know, I always go, where's the halfway point? Because when I get to the halfway point, anything else is, I'm on the way back, it's all downhill from here, even if it isn't downhill. Once I know I'm halfway there, it's great. But I also set the goal, if I'm going to do, you know, 120 miles today or 50 miles today, I understand that when I get to the 25 or 60 mile mark that I'm getting close to my goal, because now I got to go back, you know, and so it's going to be done. You know, it's kind of automatic. So just setting that. But I'll always have that written down, 4 o'clock bike ride, whatever it might be. So I get to do it, and especially on the weekend, especially if the weather's nice and I set higher goals. But we've got to have it down so we don't forget about it and it becomes part of our doing. Because as you know, when you do something 21 times in a row, it becomes a habit, and that's the point, because you got to get rid of the cellular memory so it becomes part of your way of doing things. That's a different workshop. So understanding about these directional strategies, tying into about control, are great ways to look at it. Many years ago, a friend and I used to do firewalks, and at the end of the firewalk, we'd also do board breaking exercises. And not every adult could break the boards. You know, it's about thinking your way through the board. And the unbroken boards, I would take to my kids' Boy Scout camp and let the 8-year-olds break the boards with their palm in their hands, because they have a little better attitude about doing what they're being asked to do and not having limiting beliefs, as you know if you have had young kids. So attribute number 5 is about having organized goals. You've all taken courses on goals, but it's got to be specific. You know, somebody once said, you know, the key to immortality is to first living a life worth remembering. You know, so set some great goals, you know. Create a legacy. You know, understand about that. How do you get that? Well, you set high expectations on you, because when you set high expectations on you, your staff, the product, the service, the quality, the timing, what did the installation, warranties, guarantees, whatever. The higher the expectation, the higher the results. And then you just have to live up to it. If you want to talk about setting high expectations, think Disneyland, Disney World. You know, when people go there, they're being welcomed to the happiest place on earth. That's not a bad expectation. Then all every employee has to do is make sure they deliver it. So understanding that, why that's so important. General Norman Schwarzkopf, early on in his military career, was put in charge of a mechanized unit in one of the southern states. And as he's settling into his command, he starts checking the ready rate reports, for example, for the helicopter fleet was 75%. So the ready rate report at 75% meant that at any point in time, if the helicopters were needed to be used, 75% of them were available for immediate use. As he's settling into his command, he sees that the ready rate report for a couple of years is 75%. Every single report is 75%. Would you question that? Would your skunk detector come active? He didn't quite think that dealing with mechanical things and changes in numbers, that it should always be 75%. So went to his head of maintenance, and he said, why is every report 75%? And the answer was, the previous commander set it at 75%. So he said, great, effective tomorrow, it's 80%. Question I like to ask live audiences, and you can shout the answer out in your car, in your truck, is the next time the ready rate report came in, what do you think it came in at? It came in at 80%. Why? Because people will do what they're asked to do, especially if they're engaged, especially if they're empowered, especially if they have the resources. You know, one of the military terms was be all you can be. Well, that means you got to train and support your people pretty good, and the military does give really good training. I have a workshop on that called Navy SEALs. Leadership from the front line that gets into exactly that. Edmund Hillary, the first man to summit Mount Everest, said, people do not decide to become extraordinary. They decide to accomplish extraordinary things. And that's getting that idea and going, why not? And in fact, most of the successful people who have done anything successful have been told by people they report to, you can't do it for whatever reason. And I just think when people tell me I can't do it, I go, I'm going to do it. I'll show you. So it's really about doing that. And that gets to one more thought I want to mention. It's called affirmations. And affirmations are a great way to drive your belief system by positive statements that vividly imagine future condition outcomes. And the best example I know of is Jim Carrey. Early on in his comedy an acting career. As you may know, he moved down from Canada, lived in a car for a while, got some success in a TV series, and then started having some other success. But every night when he'd be finishing his gig or his comedy routine, he would drive out to the Hollywood Hills, get out of his car, and shout at the top of his lungs, "By 1995, I will... 1985, I will earn $10 million a year," every single night. So when you shout it out, you get to hear it back through your ears, which is called auditory reassurance, which means you get it. Because if it doesn't sound right, your skunk detector will go off going, "No, that's not right." Because you're going to know whether or not you actually believe it. If you have the passion, if you have the enthusiasm, if you have the determination to do it, auditory reassurance is so important. So do that by that affirmation. So he would say, "By 1985, I will earn $10 million a year." Try that again, 1995. And in 1995, he filmed Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, and got paid $20 million, the highest paid actor at the time. Just overshot the goal just a little bit. Was it easy? Yeah, here's what Jim Carrey said. He said, "I would visualize things coming to me. It would just make me feel better." Visualization works if you work hard. That's the thing. You just can't visualize and go eat a sandwich. You actually have to do something about it. So how do you get there? Question your results. Good questions you want to ask yourself. Number one, what am I doing that doesn't really need to be done? What is the time-benefit ratio of what we, me, our staff are doing? Number two, what am I doing that could or should be done by somebody else? What can be outsourced? If you're charging $80 an hour, maybe somebody else could do something at $15 an hour in order to free up your time. So really look at the tasks you're doing. Plot your time, record your time for a week, see what you do that is administrative that isn't the best use of your time. Number three, what am I doing that could be done more efficiently? Great question. So by other people, other resources, other apps, see what's out there. There's some amazing stuff that's literally free that can really speed up your time and productivity. Talk to other people. Talk to some consultants. Make an investment in you by doing that. Ask yourself, what am I doing that wastes time of others? Great question. I mentioned that earlier on because it really does come back to haunt people a lot of times. And how does my use of time match up with my priorities? How do you know what your priorities are? Take a time management course from time to time that focuses on priorities, focuses on setting goals. And understand that so you can become dispensable, so you're not indispensable. The difference between that is dispensable means you can move up and out, as the case may be, as compared to being dispensable, because indispensable because nobody knows how to do what you do, which is why cross-training is so important. And how do we get there? It's about enthusiasm for creating results, and it's about understanding that when you put your attention on your intention, miracles happen. We are creatures of habit. Harv Eker once said, "How you do anything is how you do everything." And that is so true. I know people who are not successful, who keep saying they're going to do something and never, ever live up to their promises, to their commitments, which means they have no respect for themselves and they certainly have no respect for other people. If you know people like that, be careful about them, because you're going to be counting on them and they're going to keep disappointing you. And that's when you sort of have to have a chat with them. So just understand, attention, intention and miracles is really quite important. Mark Victor Hansen, I'm sure you're familiar with him, but when he first started doing training, talked about goals because that was his big topic at the time. He said, "Big goals, big results. No goals, no results," or somebody else's goals. And I certainly understand why that's so important. And you may recall, he's the co-author, along with Robert Allen, of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And they were turned down 15, 20 times by different publishers. And finally, one small publisher said, "Yeah, this might sell." And it's something at like 400 million books and CDs and since then. So persistence pays, that would be my point. So dream big, keep pushing ahead, and really understanding what you want to focus on and understanding this is all about excellence. So make a commitment to be the best you can be. Don't let the things you can't control interfere with things you can. I'm sure you've probably heard about that before. Ask yourself at the end of every day, what ideas, skills, improvements, or systems did I learn today that will make us more efficient, more effective in serving our customers tomorrow, and just be the best you can be? How do you do that? Well, change your attitude. So focus on what you are doing. Someone said, change the viewing, change the doing, change the viewing, change the outcomes. This is about creating better outcomes. So check your self-talk. 85% of most self-talk is negative. Understand that. and be aware of your self-limiting beliefs, because self-limiting beliefs become self-fulfilling prophecies, because a self-limiting belief is an excuse you tell yourself about why you're not going to be successful. For example, you're always late, or they don't like me, or they'll say no, so you have to be right because you figure out what not to say to create the result you want. You've often heard the expression, bad things happen in threes. Do they? Yeah, if you're listening to them, you know, and I've got great examples about that. But understanding, as Colin Powell said, success, there are no secrets to success. Don't waste time looking for the secrets. Success is a result of perfection, which means getting really good at what you're doing, which is by practice, by hard work, learning from failure, which means that you're trying it and you fail forward faster, and then loyalty to those for whom you work. And above all, it's about persistence. Attribute number six is about mastery, which I started off talking about that. So it's about high expectations. How do you get that? First of all, it's called SMART goals. You know, understanding that in order to be successful, if you measure what you do, the SMART means specific, measurable, achievable, action-related, realistic, relevant, time-related. I call it SMARTer goals, evaluatable, so you can restart, remeasure, and repeatable. That's so important. Harvey McKay, author of Swim with the Sharks, said, goals give you more than a reason to get up in the morning. They are an incentive to keep you going all day. Goals tend to tap the deeper momentum and draw the best out of life. So, for example, what I like to say to people, you want to earn more money, decide to buy a house. Now, it might be cheaper now, but you start thinking about different ways of how you spend your money, or how you're going to save your money, or where you want to be, or how to get things done better. You know, so set a bigger goal than where you are right now, and you're going to start finding ways to do that. So, life is too short to spend it doing something you don't find fulfilling, I just want to start wrapping up here. So, of the attributes, which will improve performance, others' performance, improve job satisfaction, and customer loyalty? Understanding that traditionally, a good percentage of an employee's time is not aligned with the actual job to be done. Which is why I need to look at what are people doing, which is why I need to measure results, and why that's so important. Aristotle, back in sometime before 300 BC, said, you are what you repeatedly do. Excellence is not an event, it is an attribute, which is really about habits. We have good habits, we have bad habits, we have guilty pleasures, we have great successes, depending on how you want to look at it. So attribute number seven, so just wrapping up this presentation, is about understanding, it's about excellence and effective to create your destiny, which is about what outcomes are. The power of excellence is about being the best you can be, which is about continuous improvement, saying, how can I get better in what I'm doing? Here's my optimistic numbers, here's my realistic numbers, how am I going to get there, how can I do better, what can I be better at tomorrow, a great way of looking at it. We're on the journey of a lifetime. Let's be the best we can be. Debbie Fields, founder of Mrs. Fields Cookies, whenever she's completing a report, and if she ever heard herself say, that's good enough, but always that never is. Then I want you to think about it. When it comes to your clients or your customers, it's really about saying, is that good enough, or is it the best I can be? Did I put my stamp of excellence on it? Because good enough means adequate, less than your best, and you want to stand out. So it's about persistence, about creating the results you want to accomplish. It's about understanding what worked for that today. So it's about replacing perfectionism with excellence. It's about loving what you do, because understanding enthusiasm is contagious. People get that. They want to be around you. They want to be around the company. They want to be around the product. It's about making a commitment. So your personal initiative to be the best. It's about expecting the best. So creating a vision for the future. Expect the best. What do you get? The best. Expect the worst. What do you get? You get to be right. Commit to continuous learning, so congratulations on listening to this CD, and please continue to do so and re-listen to it and share the information and listen to other ones. There's some great recordings here for you. Adopt a mentor. You know, if you want to create additional success, find out who's successful in your industry and go up to them and say, excuse me, can I buy lunch, dinner from time to time? I just want to ask you a few questions, because you never know where that will lead. Ask yourself at the end of the day, how'd I do? And then just do it. So understanding what that success is. So let me just wrap up. So this is about seven attributes of success, and any one of these really can drive the success. I like to say, love your job. Find a job you love and you add 5 days of the week is such a good comment. So love what you do. People will get that. Take a risk. You know, do something unique. Do something new. You know, make a new offer. You know, really let people know that you're there to serve them and to let them know it's successful. One thing I'd like to do, if you would, I always ask my audiences, is if after you listen to this CD, if you actually do something as a result of it, let me know. So I want to give an example. I hired a coach about 3 months ago, and she listened to me for an hour, and as a result of some feedback, I go, well, I need to reposition myself. So I reposition myself, change the live presentation I was doing the next day, to focus on the new ideas, launched the new website the week after that, and have committed to a new website for me to create, instead of my current business website, to focus on less information, but more focused on the new theme that I talk about. Because everything I talk is about three things. It's about productivity, engagement, and accountability. And that's what this talk was about, of course, because that's what most training is about. And that's really about focusing on that thing, and that's what I want to do my new website on. And it's out there. You know, I've actually launched the new website, too. So it's really about creating results. So that wraps up the session. Thank you for listening. Again, the focus is on about creating results, which starts with a great attitude, and about what you do or don't do. And from the title point of view, the seven attributes of business success is about outcomes. Please understand it's about everything that you do, you say you're going to do, which becomes your word, your character, your reputation, and about creating results. If you want any of those self-tests, go to my website, bruceleespeaker.com. It's on a page there called free downloads, or email me for it, bruceleespeaker@shaw.ca. Be happy to send that information. Thank you for being a part of this, and I look forward to another presentation with you in the future. Thanks, everybody.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.